All right, I will say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking our sponsor. Thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Sivan. Paul and Kathy Pollack for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drushos this month. In the Zchus of Refuah Shlema for Kathy's sister, Donna Baker Matson. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she will have a complete and enduring Refuah. But with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today, Baruch Hashem, an exciting daf ahead of us. Today's daf is Chof Test 29, and we are picking up Emir Hashem on Daf Chof Ches Amud Beis 28b. Good. We're picking up 28b. We're picking up Emir Hashem at Mesve, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, about 19 lines up from the bottom. Just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So the Mishnah introduced us to a very interesting concept, which is as follows, that Rabbi Elazar ben Parto went ahead and said three things. Essentially what he said was as follows, that if you have a situation where halacha lamaisa, again, a city was besieged by an army, a boat was being thrown around the turbulent seas, and someone was going out to be judged for a capital case, you make the assumption that they are still alive. Halacha lemaisa, on the other hand, if a city was overrun by a foreign army, or a boat capsized at sea, or someone was being let out to be executed, we give them the chumras as if they're alive and if they're dead. In other words, we have to treat them both ways, as if they're alive and if they're dead. We give them the halachic status, whatever comes out in the most stringent way. Comes along Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef says, by the way, this halacha that you go ahead and you give the person the chumras of living and dead is only in a Jewish court, in a Beis Din. But in a Gentile court, halacha lemaisa, once someone has had a death sentence handed down to them, they're going to be executed. In other words, there's no staying of that particular judgment. So Gemara is now going ahead and challenging that piece. Gemara is the Meisvei. Komakum Shem Dushnai Biyomi Idan Anuasish Ploni Shnei Shnei Marbeinu. Oh, actually, we did this. Sorry. Tashma. Three lines down from that. Tashma. So about 16 lines up from the bottom. Tashma. Shama Mi Bezin Shle Yisrael Shaya Omrim Ish Ploni Meis Ish Ploni Nera Yesios Ishto. If you hear testimony from a Jewish Bezin, from a Jewish court, saying the following: Ruvain, right? Ish Ploni, so and so, Mace has died, or so and so has been killed. Ultimately, again, based on the testimony of Beis Din, you allow his wife to remarry. So, however, Mikman Trisin Shal of Dekochavim. But if you hear like from the Gentile executioner, Ish Ploni Mace, Ish Ploni Nerag, so and so has died, so and so has been killed. Ah, yes, yes, Ishto. You cannot allow his wife to remarry based on the testimony of the executioner. I says the Gemara, let's analyze this. My mace or my nerag. What do you mean when you say that you have testimony that a guy died or that a guy was killed? What does that mean? Ilema, mace mamish, v'nerag, nerag mamish. If you want to say that literally, it means that based on his testifying that a guy literally died or that a guy literally was killed, I don't understand. The kavase gavi of the kocham amai ayasus ishto. We will say, why, if you received that information from a Gentile source, why would you not be permitted to allow the wife to remarry? After all, hakaimalan to komasiach lefitumo hemune mehemnile. We will say, there's a fascinating concept as follows, that you could have a person who may not be believed to give edus, but if he shares information, what we call masiach lefitumo. Masiach lefitumo means that the person is just giving up the information of their own volition. They're not being prompted. They're not being asked. They're simply being going, oh, Steve, thank you so much. Thank you. It's perfect. Thank you so much. With foam, if possible. Thank you, Steve. Thank you. So ultimately, again, there's kind of masiach lefitumo, which is a person just offers up information of their own volition, then halacha lemaisa, they should be believed. So I don't understand if the Gentile executioner tells us Reuven was killed, Reuven died, why wouldn't we believe him? To which the Gemara says, elalav meis yotze lamos, nerag yotze lehorig. Rather, what do you see from here? Mace doesn't mean mace. Rather, what does mace mean? Mace means he's going out to be killed, going out to be executed. Nerag, so nerag yotze lehorig. So we'll say, right, I'm sorry. Mace means yotze lamos, he's going out to die. Nerag yotze lehoreg. So we'll say, so this is talking about people who have been condemned, but ultimately, again, have not yet been executed. The Katani, the Bezdin Yisrael, Yasius Ishto. And also, what does it say? What does the Bryce say? That if this is happening in a Jewish court, this information comes from a Jewish court, you could assume that ultimately, again, the guy is dead. And I will say, what does that mean? You see from here that in a Jewish court, halacha lemaisa, once a person has been condemned to death, then what? Ultimately, Bezdin carries through. And Bezdin does not stay the sentence. So this contradicts Rav Yosef. The olam meis mamish v'nerag mamish. In reality, we'll say, no, we're talking about a case where Bezdin is testifying the guy is literally dead or the guy was literally killed. So he said before, why, if that's the case, then why will we not believe this information when it comes from a Gentile source? We just said before, whenever the information is offered of the Gentile's own volition is believed, it will say, it's only Masiach Lefi Tumo if the Gentile has no benefit in the information. Of the lach zuke shigrayu, but we'll say if it's a piece of information from which the Gentile benefits, ultimately again we are concerned that he died, that he lies. And we'll say what's the benefit over here? The Gentile likes to take pride in the fact that in his court system, when they judge someone to death, when they send someone to death, they kill him, right? That ultimately again there's no revocation of the sentence. So because of that, interestingly enough, even if someone has just been condemned, we are concerned that the Gentile may actually report that he was actually killed, even though he has not been killed yet, because that makes their court system look a little bit stronger and a little bit starker. Okay, Ike da Amri, we'll say an alternate version of this discussion. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Lo shana el bezin shal de kochavim. All of this is only said in a Gentile court. Top of Chavtes, we'll say. Top of Chavtes. However, aval bebezin shal Yisrael, but in the bezin shal Yisrael, kivam de nafak le dina lekatla, Katlile. So we'll say now again in this version we say, but once in a Beis Din Shel Yisrael, once a person ultimately again has a sentence handed down to them, they're killed. Otherwise, we'll say, so this version is the opposite of that which we had before. Right? So beforehand, Rabbi Yosef was positing that halacha lemaisa in a Beis Din of Ovdei Kochavim, once they hand down the verdict, that's it. The person is as good as dead. In a Beis Din Shel Yisrael, there is the ability to somehow appeal, sometimes appeal the verdict, upend the verdict. Okay, that was in this Ikeda Amri. It's Ikeda Amri, it's just the opposite. When do we say that there's a possibility, halacha lemaisa, that a person could have their sentence appealed? That's only in a Gentile court. But in a Jewish court, once the sentence has been handed down, the guy is as good as dead. So the Gemara says, Amar le Abaye, suppose I say, Chav Tasmav 29a, second line down from the top, Amar le Abaye, Beis and Shei Yisrael Nami, Afshad de Chazalei Zuchusa. But that's not true, Abaye says. We'll say, in fact, again, there are so many mechanisms built in to the Jewish court system to allow even for last minute overturning of capital decisions. Right, so you can find this chus, you can find some type of, you can find some type of reason to exonerate. To which the Gemara says, "Ki chazul yizuchusa mikamei de ligmar dina." It was is interesting. The Gemara posits that when ultimately, again, do we look for a zuchus? When do we go ahead and look for some type of way to overturn the sentence? That's only before judgment has been rendered, right? Ligmar din, baser gimar dina su lo chazul yizuchusa. But if halacha lemaisa, again, once the verdict has been delivered, they're not going to find this chus. Now, I will say, Rashi points out over here, it doesn't mean that even after the verdict has been delivered, that ultimately, again, they would not overturn the verdict. In other words, we're always willing to overturn the verdict up until the point the guy is executed. What the Gemara is just suggesting is, when it comes to a Jewish court, there's so much drisha v'chakira. What's the good word for drisha v'chakira? Due process? Is that the word, right? There's so much due process that if we get to the point of a verdict to execute someone, the probability of overturning that is almost non-existent. Not because we won't, but because we'll say, in fact, again, yeah, not because we won't, but because it would just be so uncommon. So Rabbi says, bringing us a brisa that supports this. So Rabbi says, I just want to point out, this version is a 180, right? So in this version now, what we're saying is, in a Gentile court, even once a guy has had a verdict against him to be executed, halacha lemaisa, he's not considered dead until he's dead, right? In a Jewish court, once the verdict has been delivered, it's almost as if he has a cheskas misa, right? That he's going to die. What's the logic? So I'll say the logic is that in a Jewish court, if already, again, by the time we've got to the sentence, they haven't found the schus, chances are they're not going to find the schus. I will say, so why is it that by a Gentile court, the verdict could be overturned? Why is that? As they say, it's all about the Benjamins, right? So the Maisa, again, there's the possibility to go ahead and overturn that verdict through some type of monetary compensation. Okay, so that's the logic over. So Levi says, that's being a rice that supports this. Komakom, she yam du shnaim v'yomru me'idim anu esish ploni, shenigma adina beizin. So it's the same conversation, it's just the opposite. It's just literally the opposite of what we said. So the Brayis has said before. So komakom shem du shnayim v'yomru me'idim anu es ish ploni shenigmar dino bebeis dino shal ploni uprasha. Right, sorry. So we say as follows. Anytime two people come up, stand up. Steve, thank you so much. Thank you. The best. Thank you so much. Thank you. It's perfect. Yeah, go ahead. So go. You know, it's fine. Everybody's looking nervously. Yeah, it's right. Go, it's fine. It's fine. It's a recording. Right, so it says as follows. So let's bring a price that supports this. Kol makom sheyamdu shnayim v'yomru me'idim anu esish ploni, shenigmar dinu bebezino shal ploni, uploni uploni edav, harizeya harik. So we'll say, let's bring the price. So the price says, anytime two people get up, and they testify, right? We know about so-and-so, we know about Reuven. Then halacha lemaisa again, his verdict was sealed in Beis Din. And so-and-so and so-and-so were the witnesses. And they testify that he was sentenced to death in a Beis Din. Harezeye harig. Ultimately, again, we executed. Now, so what do you see from that? What are the witnesses testifying about? What are they testifying about? They're testifying that Reuven, right, was convicted of a capital crime and sentenced to death. Sentenced to death. Reuven now ran away. So they're testifying. Reuven went ahead with sentenced. So we'll say, what do we do based on that testimony? We execute the guy. What do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, once a decision for execution has been handed down, is, so to speak, irreversible. To which the Gemara says, that's not a good case. I'll tell you, I dilma boreach shiny. We'll say, that might be a different kind of case. You know why? Because if Reuven is running from Beis Din, chances are that's a pretty good indication of guilt, right? In other words, usually innocent people don't run, right? So if he's running away from Beis Din in the midst of a capital crime, chances are he's actually been convicted of that crime. So Tashma, Shama Beis Din Shal Yisrael, Shai Omrim, Ish Ploni Meis, Ish Ploni Nerag. Yes, Yishish Rabbo says, so again, same Brisa as we had before. If we hear from a Jewish Beis Din that they say, so-and-so, Reuven is dead, right? Or Reuven has been killed. Yes, Yishish Ishto. Ultimately, again, we can allow his wife to marry based on this testimony. Mikuman terisim shal ovde kohavim. If you hear about this from the Gentile executioners, ish ploni meis, ish ploni nerag. Ayesios ishto, don't allow his wife to remarry. My meisu, my nerag. We'll say, what does it mean, meis? What does it mean, nerag? Ilema meis, meis mamish. If you say that meis means literally he died, the nerag, nerag mamish, and nerag means he was literally killed. Why wouldn't you allow his wife to remarry based on the testimony of a non-Jew? After all, again, ultimately, again, but we learned, I will say, that's what? Any person who conveys information of his own volition is believed. Rather, I will say, what do you see? Mace means what? He's going out to die. Nerag means he's been sentenced to die. Vekatani, the bezin shal yisal yasiu es ishto. And you see from here that what? That it says if this information is given to you by a Beis Din, a Jewish Beis Din, you can allow his wife to marry. Which tells you what? Once a verdict has been delivered, it's never overturned. So we'll say this confirms what we were saying before. This is the second version. And in this second version, it's in a Beis Din where if the verdict, the sentencing has taken place, the guy is as good as halachically dead. In a Gentile Beis Din, there's the opportunity to overturn it. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "Dikavase gabe ovdi kochavim." A Milo. So we'll say, if that's the case, why wouldn't the Gentile be believed? We said before, we'll say that anytime you offer up information of your own volition, even if you're not normally believed to be a witness, if you offer up this information of your own volition, you are believed. So why wouldn't the Gentile be believed? We'll say, it's only called Masiach Lefi Tumo if you have no interest in the information being proffered. However, but if you have interest in the information being shared, in other words, you have a vested interest in the narrative you are conveying, so ultimately, again, then sometimes then we have to be concerned, ultimately, again, that the person has lied. And therefore, I will say, in this case, where the Oved Kochavim does have an interest in making his Beis Din look powerful and making his Beis Din look nishtark, so therefore we would not believe him. So I will say, so bottom line seems to be that the halacha really sides with this second version. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, interestingly enough, it is in a Jewish court where if a person ultimately, again, has been sentenced to death, this is actually very interesting. Now, we're going to revisit this more, but it sounds like familiar that if a person is sentenced to death and you have witnesses that say, we saw Reuven, we were in Beis Din, where Reuven was sentenced to death and so-and-so were his witnesses, that we would allow Reuven's wife to go ahead and remarry based on that testimony. Very interesting, right? Even though what? We'll say, what didn't the witnesses see? What didn't they see? They didn't see Reuven executed. They did not see Reuven executed. What they saw was Reuven sentenced to death, that halacha l'maisa, under those circumstances, we would allow his wife to remarry. Conversely, if they saw him sentenced to death in a Gentile court, but did not actually see him executed, we would not allow her to remarry based on that testimony. Very interesting. Good. We'll say Mishnah. We'll say tremendous eshkoch to Steve for arranging the coffee this morning. Thank you, Steve. Thank you. Thank you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shehakol nehiyeh bedvaro. I will say, let's go. Mishnah. Great cases. Hamevi get Beretz Yisrael, v'chala. Now, both remember again, we were speaking about before. Actually, we have this video before. We're speaking about now. Hamevi get Beretz Yisrael. Person is bringing a guest. Well, so here's the case, right? Reuven is divorcing Rachel, right? Reuven appoints Shaliach. We'll just keep his name Shaliach, just to keep it easy. Right? So Reuven appoints Shaliach. Now, happens, Baruch Hashem, both Reuven and Rachel are zochet to live in Eretz Yisrael. So what happens? Reuven appoints, we'll say, when you deliver a get in Eretz Yisrael, what don't you have to do? Befanei nechtav ubefanei nechtam. Right? You don't have to, right? You could just go ahead and deliver the get without any type of statement. So mostly here's the case. So Reuven is divorcing Rachel and is sending a shaliach to deliver the get. So what happens? V'chala. Now the shaliach gets ill. The shaliach becomes ill and is unable to go ahead and fulfill his shlichus. So what's talacha? Harezim mishalchu biyad acher. No problem. Just go ahead and send it with someone else. Now, what's the chiddush over here? If you take a look at Rashi, it's actually Rashi all the way on the top of the page, a third line down. So shliach could appoint shliach number two, right? Without even going into Beis Din. So shliach number one, he's ill, he can't execute his shlichus. He could even go ahead and appoint a shliach number two to go ahead and deliver the get. Okay, v'im amrlo tol lihi meni chayfetz ploni. The boss said, "Now watch this. Let's complicate a little bit, because why not? Why not? Right?" So I said, "Watch this." Now, if Reuven says to Shliach, "Listen, here's the deal. I want you to give the get to Rachel, but I want you to get back her diamond ring. Right? I want that diamond ring back. Right? So give her the get and get back the diamond ring. Right? Then ultimately, again, lo yishalchenu biyad acher." Then halacha lemaisa, so shaliach cannot appoint shliach number two. She'in ritzono, she'e pikdono biyadacha. Why, Rabosai? Because Reuven is essentially appointing shliach number one for a dual faceted shlichus. Number one was to go ahead and deliver something to Rachel, and number two was what? To bring something back to Reuven. Now, Rabosai, again, so ultimately, Reuven lav dafka wants his item in the hands of someone else. In other words, Reuven is dafka going ahead and appointing Shliach number one, because that's the guy he wants, that's the guy he trusts to bring back the diamond ring. So in case number one, where all that's happening over here is delivery of a get, if Shliach number one becomes sick, he could on his own appoint Shliach number two to deliver the get. In case number two, where again it's a multifaceted shlichos, where there's delivery of a get and bringing back of an item of value, so that it's not so pashut that Reuven trusts someone else to bring back the diamond ring. So therefore, again, in that case, shliach number one cannot appoint someone else to execute the shlichos. Fascinating case. Good. Hosea, let's go. Hosea, this is really exciting because halacha lemaisa, now we're getting into the sugyas ultimately again of shlichos, which are fascinating because remember, this is not just about gittin, right? We're going to see about say this comes up all of the time. Someone asks you to do something, you can't necessarily go ahead and fulfill the agency. What are your rights as a shaliach to go ahead and appoint someone else to finish the job? So watch this. Amrav Kana, chala tnan. So also Rav Kana says, by the way, the only time shliach number one, has the ability to appoint shliach number two is when? When he becomes ill. Meaning, I will say, what does it mean he becomes ill? What does that mean? He's unable to fulfill the terms of his agency. That's when he can go ahead and appoint shliach number two. So the Gemara says, pshita, chala katani. That's obvious. That's what it says, right? We'll say, it says, ultimately, again, chala, that he became ill. Ma'abtim, what would you have thought? Huadin afagav dalo chala. I would have thought, no. The truth is, agent number one could always appoint agent number two, right? Shliach number one could always, even if he didn't become ill. V'hai diktani chala, and why does it say that shliach one became sick? So, archa demilsa katani. Because, well, you know, sometimes the Gemara just talks. How does the Gemara talk? Like, in normative terms, so we'll say under normal circumstances, when is Shliach 1 appointing Shliach 2? When is that happening? When Shliach 1 becomes ill. Right? But Pashto, so we'll say, if Shliach 1 is able to, he's going to go ahead and fulfill the terms of his agency. But Pashto, the only time he wouldn't is when he becomes ill. So Kamashma, and we'll say Kamashma, no. It's the only right that Shliach number one has to go ahead and appoint Shliach number two is when he is unable to fulfill the terms of his agency. But if he is able to do so, then halacha lemaisa, he must do so. So we'll say this is a very important qualification. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is that perhaps the only time a Shaliach has the ability to transfer agency is when he is unable to execute the terms of his shlichus. But if he is able to, but let's say he just doesn't feel like it, right? I have something better to do today, right? If he just doesn't feel like it, that would not give him the right to go ahead and halacha lemaisa transfer the terms of the agency. So let's analyze. We're not finished. Hechi dami. So we'll say, what's the case? This is so fascinating. Hechi dami. Ida amrle holich afagav lo chalanami. Now we'll say, as we're going to see now, there are different ways in which you could appoint an agent. I will say, let's say Reuven just says to Shliach, he says, Holech. I will say, what does Holech mean? Go. Now, it means go and deliver. So I will say, that is considered to be a nondescript agency. In other words, you're just saying, Holech, do me a favor, just go take this. So essentially, I will say, Afagav delo chalanami. I will say, in that case, even if the Shliach didn't become sick, he should be able to go ahead and transfer the agency, right? Appointing the Shliach. Why, I will say? Because Holech essentially is a nondescript appointment. It's like, it's pretty much what Reuven is saying to Shliach is, you're my FedEx. Right? So if you can't deliver, just get another FedEx. It's nondescript. However, so we'll say if that's the case, even if Shliach doesn't become ill, he should be able to transfer the agency. What if Reuven says to Shliach, Atolech? What is Atolech? You. I will say one little word, two little letters, and suddenly it changes the entire thing. At Holech is Reuven saying, you and only you. I want you. Right? At Holech. Right? So I will say, so Afilu Chala Nami. Right? Chala Nami. I will say, well, if that's the case, he says, At Holech, then what? Even if Shliach becomes ill, Shliach shouldn't be able to what? He shouldn't be able to transfer the agency. To which the Gemara says, "Afilu cholanami." V'Rab Shimon Gamliel, and I'll say, "V'Rab Shimon Gamliel, afilu cholanami lo." So we'll say, furthermore, again, And if it's greater Shimon Leal, even if he gets sick, he should be able to transfer the agency. What does Shimon Leal say? It's this Sanya, Holich Gezel Ishti. We'll say, right, Reuven says to Shliach, take this get to my wife. Hareze Mishalcho Biyad Achar. Again, if the Shliach wants to transfer the agency to someone else, he could do so. Because we'll say this is a nondescript appointment of an agent. So therefore, the goal is to get the get to Rachel. So therefore, again, Shliach could appoint another Shliach. However, At Holich Gezel Ishti, if Reuven says to the Shliach, I want you to take the get to my wife, Hareza lo yishalchenu biyad acher. Ultimately, again, at that point, the Shliach cannot appoint someone else to deliver the get. Rabbi Shimon says, Benkach ubenkach, ein Shliach ose Shliach. Rabbi Shimon says that no. That's not the way it works over here. Now, we'll say, this is by Gittin. Whether or not Rabbi Shimon holds this by other cases, we'll discuss. Rabbi Shimon is saying, if you're appointed to deliver the get, you cannot go ahead and appoint someone else in your stead. Whether he said holich or at holich, no, you have to get the job done. Abosai, just understand, Rosh Hashanah's position is very logical, because remember again, what's happening over here, remember, get only works if what? If it's directly from husband to wife, right? V'nasan biyada. Husband has to deliver the get to his wife. So again, shlucho shal adam kimoso, a person's shaliach is an extension of himself. So Shimon Leal says that works as long as the husband appoints that shaliach. So therefore, again, shaliach can't start appointing other shluchim. That doesn't work, because what that does is, what that will do is, it'll break the chain of v'nasan biyada. So Shimon Leal is of the opinion that whether you said heilach, right, holich, or at holich, it doesn't make a difference. The shaliach that is appointed is the shaliach that has to deliver, and the shaliach can never make other shluchim. So now watch this. So therefore, again, we're just asking, what's the case of the Mishnah? Because we'll say, here's the problem. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that halacha lemaisa, a husband gives a get to a shaliach. Shaliach's bringing it in Eretz Yisrael. What's the halacha? If he becomes ill, he could appoint the shaliach in his stead. So what's the case? So the Gemara says as follows. So we'll say one possibility is, the case of the Mishnah is a case of holech, nondescript. Take it, and therefore the shliach became ill. In that case, the Mishnah says he can appoint another shliach in his stead. The other possibility is, at holech, the chala shayni. Or maybe it's still a case of at holech. But even in a case of at holech, you take it, maybe the Tanakhama of the Mishnah holds that in a case of choli, in a case of sickness, shaliach could still go ahead and appoint another shliach. V'ibayis, another possibility is, Rav Shimon Gamliel, he is Rav Shimon Gamliel, the chalashani. And even Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that when the shliach becomes sick, when the shliach becomes ill, he is allowed to appoint another shaliach. Okay, so we'll say three possibilities as to how to read the Mishnah. So Tanan, Hamevi get Eretz Yisrael, the chala, we learned in the Mishnah, right, shliach is bringing a get in Eretz Yisrael, and he becomes ill. Harezem shalcho biyad acher. He could appoint another shliach in his stead to deliver the get. Minhu raise the kasha. Amar l'shnayim tenu get lish. They're both saying, watch this case. We're contrast this with another case. They both say Reuven goes over to two guys, and he says to them, guys, tenu get lishdi, give a get to my wife. Or l'shlosha, he goes over to a group of three, and he says, kisvu utenu get lishdi, go ahead and write and give a get to my wife. Hare elu yichtavu v'yitnu. The boss says, focus on the second case. Right, Reuven goes over to three guys. Says, guys, write and deliver a get for my wife. So we'll say, what does the Braisa say? Those three must be the ones who write and give it. Hare elu yichtavu v'yitnu. Inhu in avashliach lo. We'll say, what do you see from here? Those three guys must be the ones who deliver it, and they cannot appoint someone else to do it. So we'll say, what do you see from this Braisa? That when a husband appoints a shaliach for delivery of the get, what is the halacha? That shaliach must be the one who executes the agency, and he has no ability to appoint anyone else. It contradicts our Mishnah. Amar Abaye, none of us listen to this. Hasam taim amai mishum bizayon debal. But say it's different. I'll tell you something interesting, which I don't know that we would necessarily glean ourselves from the Gemara. Rash, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says bizayon debal. The Rashi is actually right across from the previous Mishnah we started. Rashi says sha'alav lichtov es aget ve'imar rotsa sheidu babrab m'shein yodei lichtov. We'll say, it's interesting. Apparently, in the original formulation of the halacha, who was writing a get? The husband. The husband himself would write the get for his wife. So what's interesting is, it's a shtickle embarrassment for the husband not to be able to write the get. Why? Because it shows a certain lack of Judaic literacy. So therefore, I will say, watch this. When a man is saying to a group, Kisvu utinu get leishti, write this get and deliver it to my wife, it's embarrassing for him that he can't write the get himself. So he doesn't want word getting out that he can't write the get. So he's speaking to this group of three. He's saying, you guys take care of it. He doesn't want the process delegated to anyone else because he doesn't want anyone else knowing that he can't write the get. Contrast that with our Mishnah. They will say, what's the case of our Mishnah? What's the case of our Mishnah? What's happening in the Mishnah? What is the husband saying to the Shaliach? Right? Holech, take the get. They will say, so there's no bizayin the Baal. Right? In other words, that halacha lemaisa, the get's already written. It's already done. Here, it's just a question of delivery. When it comes to delivery, there's no embarrassment for the husband if he doesn't deliver it himself. Therefore, perhaps, in that case, the agency is transferable. Rava Amarava says there's a different reason. Mishum demili ninhu, umili lo mimsu l'shliach. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. So we'll say, remember, Gemara was posing a contradiction between our Mishnah and the Braisa. Our Mishnah makes it sound like agency is transferable. The Braisa said that if Reuven goes over to three guys and he says, guys, write and deliver my get, that agency is not transferable. So I will say, so answer number one, it's not a contradiction. Answer number one is, the case of writing and delivering is different because there's an element of embarrassment to the husband. When there's embarrassment, we want it to stay in that group, not any larger, and therefore it's not transferable. In the Mishnah, there's no embarrassment to the husband because it's just a matter of transportation. Second possibility, Rava Amar, Mishum Demili Ninhu. I will say, this is fascinating. I will say, in a situation of Shlichos, in order to transfer Shlichos, you have to be able to, the Gemara is suggesting, you have to be able to transfer something tangible and not simply a verbal directive. I will say, ultimately, again, in the case where Reuven goes over to three guys and he says, Kisvu utinu get leishti, write, and deliver the get to my wife, they can't transfer that agency to someone else. Why not? Because the act of writing, I will say, is just a verbal commandment. There's a verbal command. There's nothing tangible to be handed over. It's mili. And you can't transfer mili to another shaliach. Conversely, we'll say in our Mishnah, when Reuven, what is Reuven giving to the shaliach? What does Reuven give to the shaliach? What is he giving him? Yeah. A get, right? And therefore, again, if the shaliach wants to appoint another shaliach, what will he give him? A get. So there's something tangible. So maybe the Gemara is suggesting that when it comes to transfer of agency, maybe it can be done when there's something tangible to transfer, but not when it's just a verbal command. What's the practical difference in these two opinions? Ultimately, we'll say the practical difference would be a shaliach who's giving over a matana. He's giving over a matana. Ultimately, Reuven says to two edim, write a document of a gift to Ploni. So ultimately, again, if it's about bizayon debal, that doesn't apply over here. But if it's about mili mimsaron, it does apply over here. We'll put the drav ushmo, Rav amr matana in a kiget. Rav says matana is not like a get. Ushmo amr matana hari kiget. And Shmuel says, no, matana is like a get. Okay, fine. Vim amr lo toli menu chayv flan. So we'll say, therefore again, we'll see the halacha mice in just a few moments, but here's what we have. So we'll say, so case number one so far is Reuven says to Shaliach, ultimately, again, holech get leishti, right? Go ahead, take the get to my wife, or, right? And Shaliach becomes ill. Mishnah teaches me, Shaliach could transfer agency to someone else. Now, what we're unsure of in the Gemara is, what's the formulation? What is it? Is that a case of just holech? Is that a case of at holech? Is it Reb Shimon Gamliel? So that's still up in the air, okay? Case number two in the Mishnah, I will say, was what? Where husband Reuven says to Shaliach, take the get, and what? It's part two. What's part two? Bring back the diamond ring. So we'll say, in that case, what does the Mishnah say? Agency is not transferable. So let's analyze. It says the Gemara, Amar Reish Lakish, we'll say second of the wide lines on the bottom. Six lines up from the bottom of the page. Amar Reish Lakish, Kanshan Rebbe, here's what Rebbe said, Ein hashol rashay lahashil, vein asokha rashay lahaskir. We'll say in general, what we see from here is something very interesting. If you borrow something from someone, you don't have the right to lend it out to someone. Suppose it's very important halacha, right? If you borrow something from someone, you don't have the right to lend that to someone else. If you rent something from someone, you don't have the right to rent that to someone else, right? So no subletting, right? No subletting, no subleasing. I would say it's a very important halacha, because even though, again, you might think that as a borrower, right, you have complete rights. You do. You have complete rights to use it for yourself, but no rights to give it to someone else. So we'll say, now again, what's the logic over here? The logic over here is that, well, why is he going to bring this up? Because since Reuven appointed the shaliach to bring back the item, obviously what he's saying is, shaliach, I trust you with the item. But lav dafka, I trust anyone else with the item, therefore the shlichus is going to be non-transferable. Similarly, if I lend something to someone, I trust that borrower with the item. Lav dafka, I trust anyone else with that item. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Zu afilu tinoko shabes rabban yodin. Rabbi Yochanan says, come on, everyone knows that. What's the value? That's like the height of like base medrash shtach. Right? Like, come on, even babies know that. Right? Everyone knows that. So the Gemara says, Ela zimnin digita nami lo havi dinasek. So I'm sorry. Ella, rather, what is he saying? Rather, is he saying? Ella, zinnin, digita, nami, lo, havi, tinasa, kimisha, omer, lo, al tigersha, ella, bebayis, vigersha, bali. I'm supposed to now listen to this. You're right. In other words, here's what's interesting. The Mishnah is not coming to tell me that the shlichus is not transferable. Why? That's obvious. Right? Why is it obvious? Because since Reuven is telling the shliach that he wants him to bring back a pikadin, right, an item of value, so obviously Reuven is saying, I only trust you to do it and no one else. Therefore, it's not transferable. No different than if I lend an item to someone, the borrower cannot transfer it to someone else. Then I will say, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that sometimes if the agent transfers the agency or shifts the agency, sometimes even the get itself won't be good. Why not? I will say, why not? Because I will say, listen to this. Because this could be comparable to the following case. Let's say Reuven says, Reuven says to the shaliach, right? Shaliach, deliver the get to my wife Rachel, but al tigar shalab bayis, I only want you to divorce her in the dining room. We got engaged in the dining room, right? Life is a full circle, right? Tell a man of my word. I said, right, this was started in the dining room, end in the dining room, right? I want you to go ahead and divorce her, only give her the get in the dining room. Vigir Shabaliyah. He divorces her on the second story. He gives her the get in the second story. Or, Al Tigarsha Ala Biyamin, Vigir Shabasmal. When you give her the get, I want you to hand her the get with your right hand. You need to go with your right hand. And the Shaliach goes ahead and gives her the get with the left hand. These would be cases where if the shaliach differs from the instructions, then halacha lemaisa, the get is not good. Now, both say, now watch this. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over here that when the Mishnah says, Reuven's sending the get with shaliach, and he says to shaliach, that what? V'mar tol li himena chefetz ploni. Reuven says to shaliach, take back from her certain objects. Let's go with the diamond ring, right? Take back from her the diamond ring. Now, I will say, what's happening over here, what's unfolding over the Mishnah, is a very specific set of instructions. Watch this. For example, the Gemara says, "D'chuli alma hecha denafka la'ape v'yave lechefetz v'hadar shak lamine gita kuli alma lo pligi digita gita." So I will say, for example, when Shaliach shows up, and Rachel runs out, and what does she do? Rachel goes ahead and gives the shaliach the diamond ring, and then shaliach gives her the get. Everyone agrees that in that case, divorce effective, right? Kita ma'al yahavi, keep ligi. And we'll say, watch this. Where does the complicated case come up? Hecha da amrle, we'll say amadeis, where Reuven said to the shaliach the following set of instructions. Shakol mina chetetz, right? Here's what Reuven said to shaliach. Reuven says, shaliach, take back the diamond ring, v'hadar havla gita, and then give her the get. Shabbos says, so now in this case over here, what's happening? There's a very specific set of instructions. Reuven is saying, I'll give you the get, but give me back the ring. Right? Reuven is concerned he's not going to get the ring back. So what does he do? He's leveraging the get. Right? He says, go ahead and give me the ring, and I'll give you the get. V'hadar havla gita, v'azal ihu, so I'll say, v'hadar havla gita, v'azal ihu, now the shliach, what does the shliach do? Vazal ihu, V'yoyev legita, v'hadr shalka min ha-chefetz. What does the shliach do? The shliach first gives her the get, but he gets back the ring. In other words, so he got back the ring, but what did he do? Reverse the order. So let's say, so now, what's the halacha in this case? Because technically speaking, what's happened over here? So let's say it's a fascinating case where the shaliach has accomplished the mission, i.e. he's coming back with the ring after having delivered the get, but he reversed the order, which means that he deviated from the instructions of Reuven. So let's say, so now the shaila is, so mission accomplished, but you didn't do it the right way. So let's say, so what's the halacha? Rabbi Yochanan posel, bo, v'chol shekei mishlucho. Rabbi Yochanan says it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Rabbi says shluchos only works if you follow instructions. See, even though, again, it's interesting because you're getting what you wanted at the end of the day, right? You wanted to give the get and you wanted the diamond ring back. You're getting it, but Rabbi Yochanan says, but you didn't follow the instructions. And when you don't follow the instructions, even if you get the result, that's not the intended result. I'm sorry, posel bavakoshke mishlucho. Rabbi Yochanan says, again, whether you did this yourself or you appointed another agent in your stead, it's not going to work. Reish Lakish Shemach Shemishlucha the Kol Shekein Bo. Reish Lakish says, no, it works. It works. Why does it work? Why does it work? Because Aloch Lameisa, mission accomplished. So I will say, so fascinating machlokes. So I will say, so just to share this with you, how do we pass? And I will say, just very quickly, because we're out of time. I will say, listen to this. Rambam writes, Hilchos Gerushin Perak Tes Aloch Hey. Ha Omer Lishlucho. Man says, right, Reuven says to Shliach, Holech get zeli ishti, take the get. Bein sha'amr lo holech, bein sha'amr lo at holech, v'chala o ne'enas, v'shachol bi'ad acher. So I'm going to say, so aloch l'maisa, the way we paskin, is whether Reuven said holech or at holech, if shaliach encounters extenuating circumstances and is unable to fulfill his agency, he has the right to appoint another shaliach. That's how the Rambam paskins. I always say, but again, in order to appoint another shaliach, what do you need? Extenuating circumstance. In other words, you can't just do it because you don't feel like it, right? You got to take this to the game. It's like, hey, let me just appoint another shliach. No, if there are extenuating circumstances, you can appoint another shliach. Whatever the formulation was, holy or atolich. Watch this. So I'll say now, watch this. However, the exception to this rule is if Reuven says to shliach, listen, give the get, but I want you to bring back the diamond ring. That is a non-transferable agency that you cannot transfer. They will say, why not? Because then, again, that's a pikadon situation. Because now you're bringing back something. That's not transferable. Alright, so we'll leave that case on the side of the site. But halacha l'maisa, again, halacha l'maisa is very interesting. So if, again, he just goes ahead and says, take the get, that agency is transferable if there's an ones, an extenuating circumstance which prevents the original shliach from executing the shlichus. If however he said, halacha l'maisa, take the get, but you bring me back the object, that agency is not transferable. Good. Mishnah will say, there are more cases with that, but for now, that's gonna hold us over. Another Mishnah will say, Hamid v'gem dinas hayam. So I say, oh, here's where it gets interesting. So now Reuven is divorcing Rachel. Now what happens? He brings her, right? Now I will say, this is happening in Medinas Hayam. This is happening overseas. So now I remember again, if it's overseas, then what has to happen? The fine echtam. The chala, now shaliach is unable to fulfill the agency. So what does he do? Ose shliach bebeiz din umishalcho. So I will say, now this is a bit more complicated. Whereas in the previous Mishnah, because they get what's happening in Eretz Yisrael, shaliach could just go ahead and appoint another shaliach on his own. In this case, because the get is coming from Chutz La'aretz, and you have Befanei Nechtav or Befanei Nechtam, so the appointment of a second agent has to take place in Beis Din itself. And in Beis Din, the first Lechtav, Omer Fneim, Befanei Nechtav or Befanei Nechtam. Now we'll say after that, then Beis Din effectively appoints another Shaliach to finish giving the get. Vein Shliach Achron, Tzarek Shom, Befanei Nechtav, Befanei Nechtam. The second shliach, of course, doesn't say b'fayinechtam. Rather, because why doesn't he say it? Because he wasn't there. Ela omer shliach beiz dinani. Rather, I will say, what's his line? Especially when he says shliach beiz dinani. Right, so I will say that's his line. He shows up and he says, "I am the shliach of beiz din to deliver this gift." Incredible. Amri Rabban Alavi raised Rabbi Abo, but I mean Rabbi Abo shliach to shliach mashi shliach olo. Oh, we'll say now watch this. So we'll say now to follow up a little bit. Can the shliach of the shliach appoint the shliach? So let's play this out. Right? So Reuven appoints shliach number one to deliver the gift from Chutz Laaretz. Shliach number one gets Teretz Yisrael. He can't go ahead and go on anymore. He gets sick. He comes to the Beis Din and says, "Farnachta, farnachta." Good. So shliach number two now goes as appointed by Beis Din. Right? He says, "Shliach Beis Din." Shliach number two becomes ill. Could shliach number two now appoint shliach number three? Right, Armeluhu, Haloti Bailuhu, that's not even a question. Midiktani, Ein Hashliach Acharon. We'll say if you look at the Lashon of the Mishnah, the Mishnah says the last Shaliach doesn't say Befarnechtam and Farnechtam, rather, he just says Shliach based in Ani. We'll say the fact that it says Shliach Acharon and it doesn't say Shliach Sheni, right, tells us that what? Michlal Demashri Shliach. So we'll say what we can infer from the Mishnah is that Halacha Lamaisa, very interesting, is that Shliach number two can appoint Shliach number three, who can appoint Shliach number four. Again, I will say, we'll see where those secondary appointments actually have to take place. They're taking place in Beis Din. Outside, we'll talk about that. Alakiti bailuchu kimashri Shliach be Beis Din, afilu shlo be Beis Din. Here it is, I will say. Rather, what's the Shaila? What's the Shaila? The Shaila is when Shliach number two appoints Shliach number three, does that have to take place in Beis Din, or can that take place even outside of Beis Din? Amrlei, so ha loti hamba mi baylan. They will say that's also not a kasha. Why? Because they will say, what does the shaliach have to say when he delivers the get in these situations? Ela omer shliach Beis Din ani. Right? They will say, remember again, he had the line, because he can't say b'fainechta b'fainechtam. The line he does say is shaliach Beis Din ani. So we'll say, now obviously in order to make the statement of Shliach Beis Din Ani, what has to happen? What has to happen? You have to be appointed in Shliach itself. So we'll say, so what we begin to see is as follows. Number one, Shliach number two can appoint Shliach number three, and apparently a whole line of Shluchim. As long as what? Everyone who is appointed, ultimately again, is appointed in Beis Din itself. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Masni Haki, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak stated as follows, Amar Lei Rabbanan La'avimi, Berei Drabi Avo, Shliach to Shliach. When the Shliach of the Shliach kimashvi Shaliach, when he appoints another Shaliach, the Beis Din or Shalom Beis Din. Does he have to appoint it in Beis Din, or can it even be done outside of Beis Din? Amrlohu, Vitibailuhu. Before he asked that, well, it's just another version. Before he asked that question about whether or not Shliach number three and four have to be appointed in Beis Din, ask a more fundamental question. Right? Imashvi Shliach Ba'alma. Can Shliach number two appoint Shliach number three at all? Amulei said to him, no. Ha lo kami bayilan. That's not a question. Why? Disnan, ein hashliach acharon. Because the Mishnah said, the last shaliach has to say, b'shach beizan, himichlal, the shliach mashvilei. Mashvi shliach. In the case, thus, that a shliach has the ability to appoint another shliach. Eloki kami bayilan. So we'll say, what's our shayla? The beizan shalom be beizan. Ultimately, when two appoints three and three appoints four, does that have to be in Beis Din or not? That's also not a shayla. Diktani ala omer shliach Beis Din ani. Ultimately, again, he says that I'm a shliach Beis Din. Therefore, I will say, saloch lemaisa, what comes out are two important nekudos. Number one, that shliach number two can appoint shliach number three, but any subsequent appointment of shluchim must be done under the purview of Beis Din, i.e. in Beis Din itself. Fascinating. Amar Rabba, Shliach Beretz Yisrael, Osa Kama Shluchim. Ultimately, a Shliach in Eretz Yisrael can make a number of different agents. I will say what that means is the agency is transferable on an ongoing basis. Amar Ravashi, in Meis Rishon, Bit Lakulon. Ravashi says, however, if the first Shliach dies, all of the subsequent Shluchim are void. Amar Ravashi, come on, that's not true. Had the Abba Dekat Nusahi. When my father said that statement, he was a kid. Right? He was a kid. In other words, that's you know, well, see, you know how it is. You know how it is when you're young. You make all kinds of reckless halachic statements. Remember from your youth, right? They'll say, so, halavai, right? Halavai, that was youth, right? So I'll say, rather, the Gemara says, Ilu meis bal midim shasha isbei, Kusha will say, the only person who matters if he dies is the husband, right? Kulu mikwach man kasu, mikwach tabal kasu. We'll say, it doesn't really matter if Shliach number one dies. What matters is, did the husband die? Does that? Because remember, shluchim are an extension of who? Of the husband. Therefore, again, isay labal, isay lekulhu. It will say, if husband is alive, then the chain of shluchim is fully intact. Less say labal, less no lekulhu. If the husband dies, it will say, then the chain is broken. So it's very important. Even though shliach number one appointed two, and two appointed three, and three appointed four, let's say, if shliach number one dies, it doesn't make any difference. It does not in any way upend the process. the death of the husband upends the process. Why? Because all the shluchim ultimately again are considered an extension ultimately again of the Baal. We'll start with. I just want to just share with you. First of all, I appreciate everyone being so accommodating with the changes. It's interesting. When it was fascinating to see, like, when people come into the space. I was able to say, when you come into a new situation, it's hard to figure out, like, where am I sitting? Where am I going? Like, what am I doing? So I will say, but yet something very interesting happens, which is after a couple of moments of discomfort, right, and kind of disorientation, you figure it out. We'll say it's an incredible metaphor for life. A lot of times in life, we are cast into new circumstances, new situations. And the first reaction often is, I don't know where I am, I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know how I'm going to handle this. And then something amazing happens. Within a couple of moments, or so sometimes in life, it's more than a couple of moments. Sometimes it's a couple of hours, sometimes it's a couple of days, maybe sometimes it's a couple of years. The dust settles, and you find your way through. So we should glean koach and yirtzeh Hashem from being able to navigate the new small circumstances in the base medrash. And yirtzeh Hashem should give us the koach ultimately when we experience this orientation in life to recognize we'll get through it as well. All right, well, say shkoyach, we'll stop over here. And it's nice to be back in the old base medrash.